praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the sun expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. Deuteronomy, the mysterious little book with the very strange name. Actually, it means re-speaking or second speaking. And as we have seen, this is the account of Moses re-speaking the law with all of the statutes and ordinances to a new generation of the children of Israel as they were about to enter into the land of Israel, the good land. But incorporated into this book were page after page of serious warnings of the curses that would befall Israel if they were to not listen to the word of Jehovah. Near the end of the book, there is a long section, chapter 33, called the Song of Moses, that accounts in poetic form many of the things incorporated in this book, and it concludes this way, a very fitting conclusion to the entire book of Deuteronomy. So Israel dwelt securely, the fountain of Jacob in solitude, on a land of grain and new wine, and the heavens over him dropped their dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you? A people saved by Jehovah, the shield of your help, and he who is the sword of your majesty. So your enemies shall come cringing to you, and you shall tread upon their high places. Francis Ball has joined us today for our final program from the Life Study of Deuteronomy. Quite a concluding word there, isn't it, Francis?
It certainly is. I'm really anxious to get into this message because I believe we'll realize a lot of things about Israel that explain their history.
And our history.
And they're our history as well. Yeah, we're just like they are.
And we'll see that, I think, more vividly today than perhaps in any of these programs in Deuteronomy. Francis, it is somewhat a mysterious book. I think it's a book that people tend to overlook. Not a lot of people have focused on. When you think of the great expositions of the Bible, Deuteronomy doesn't leap into our minds. But what a journey we've had as it has been opened up in the way of the life study that Witness Lee gave this book in 1990. I feel very blessed, very fortunate to have been able to handle these messages, several of them with you. Don't you have the same?
It's been a very great privilege to be able to get back into these messages and see how they were opened up to us at that time.
We began by saying that really this law, which is the Word of God, at that time it was the up-to-date speaking of God, is just Christ, and we will conclude today with that same point. We have a lot of Witness Lee today. I think we should get right to it. I mentioned the Song of Moses in chapter 33, also near the end of the book, but just previous to that, after Moses concludes his speaking of all of the law to Israel, an expression of, I would say, his discouragement, because he had a real sense that Israel would not listen and pay heed to all of the words of Jehovah, but he knew their nature and their heart, and as he was nearing death, he had the strong feeling and speaks it, that they will rebel after he is gone. Actually, if we look at these verses, a couple of verses in chapter 31, verse 26, take this book of the law and place it at the side of the ark of the covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. I know your rebelliousness and your stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet here alive with you today, you have been rebelling against Jehovah. So how much more after my death? Actually, a kind of prophecy that is, as we look in history, certainly has been fulfilled time after time, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I'm afraid that this describes us to a large extent as well.
And we would take that, I think, position as we begin to examine this message. We are not separating ourselves from Israel. We're identifying ourselves as part of God's people also. And so these descriptions of Israel, as you've pointed out, are really appropriate descriptions of us as well. Well, let's join Witness Lee for this first portion of our final life study from Deuteronomy.
When Moses finished writing the words of the law in a book, he charged the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant to take this book of the law and place it at the side of the Ark. So this old man, when he left, he didn't live in peace. His heart was there, still on Israel. Israel, you rebel. I give the law, I repeat it, I charge you again, 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 again. I don't have the peace. I don't have any trust in you, because when I was alive, you rebelled that many times. Now I'm going to leave you. He just couldn't have any peace in them. Eventually, what he felt became the fact. Not too long after he left, the children of Israel rebelled. So still, the old father's right. Don't think he's too much, because he knew our nature. And our nature is just a rebellion. This is in our blood. Yeah, this is in our being. Regardless of what would be, we would rebel. I just wonder why Israel got that much teaching. Again and again, through Moses, then through Joshua, through the judges, through the priests, and so forth. Why they would still like to go after the other gods. They still like to worship the idols. And to such extent, they even brought the idols into the temple. They seem to be more heathen, more pagan than the pagans. Don't forget, this is our picture. What Israel is exposed, it shows what we are. We are the same. We need the mercy. We need the grace. We need to know that we are all together a rebellious nature. What we are, just rebellion. Moses' exhortation chart shows his honesty and his dear, loving concern. You have to listen to the word of this law. Don't have any trust in yourself. Don't have any kind of assurance that you can stand, that you can remain. You and I, we all don't have any kind of a guarantee that we can stand. So, again, again, we have to come back to him, right? To inhale some of his breathing into our being all the time.
Francis, by now, I think Moses, correct me if I'm mistaken, is 120 years old, a wise man who has been walking with the Lord for a long time. And in all those years, he had come to know Israel very, very well, hadn't he?
Yes.
And he knew the problem here was really with their nature.
Mm-hmm. He knew God through all his experiences, and he also knew Israel through all his contact with them throughout that wilderness time.
Say something here. That last sentence, and I want to make sure that our listeners caught it. It's something that we spent a good deal of time on in the early life study messages in Deuteronomy, this matter of inhaling what God was breathing out. And he presents it here as the only cure for this ailment that has befallen us, the same that has befallen Israel. What is he referring to here?
Well, I think this introduction Brother Lee gave that we just heard really shows us a truth that what Israel was, that's the way we are. And the only cure for our rebellion and our sinful nature is to breathe in the divine nature.
Yeah.
So we got regenerated when we received the Lord Jesus. Now, in this age, to receive the Lord Jesus means that our spirit becomes alive. And that spirit now, with the life of God and even the Spirit of God, blended and mingled with our spirit, makes it possible for us to breathe in God. In His Word, in His speaking all the time, we can breathe in what He breathes out. And Moses was a very good example of this and a very good type of this, because the words that he spoke were really God's words. And if the people of Israel would have taken his words and breathed in what he breathed out, then they would have the strength, they would have the faithfulness, they would have the desire to do everything that God said and the strength to do it. We don't have it in ourselves, but if we get God's breath breathed into us, God's nature breathed into us, and he expands into our whole being so that we become one with him to such an extent, we will remain what he wants. But outside of that, there's nothing in us actually but rebellion, and we'll find that our history is very much like Israel's history.
We had a program where we talked a lot about the curses and the blessings that were both warned and promised upon Israel, a strong warning to them in that chapter 27 that had just item after item of almost unspeakable cursings that would befall Israel if they were not to really cleave to Jehovah their God. And then the promise of blessings almost as innumerable if they were to cleave. And here Moses obviously is convinced that, no, you really won't. You are going to rebel. God's point with Israel and with us is not that he doesn't give us up, but he disciplines and chastises us in order to gain us and really ultimately bring us into that blessing.
God's ways are like a loving father who is righteous and just and demanding.
Yeah.
And when his words are not followed, then of course there was no choice with him in his righteousness but to deal with the rebellion. So we can expect that the Lord will deal with us in a strict way. God loves his people very, very much. He did everything to gain us. He gave his own son to gain us. Now we're his children. And the book of Hebrews says, if we don't get the discipline from God, that means we're not legitimate children.
Right.
So we should be happy that we can breathe in God's just word as well as his loving word.
Mm, really so. Well, Deuteronomy is the final book of the first five, and they are significant Christian terms. We call the first five books the Pentateuch. The term in Judaism is the Torah, these five books of the law, which were the books of Moses, and these were the books that were written by Moses himself. And so as we have now come to the end of the fifth book of the Pentateuch, of this section, I think it's fitting that we focus a little bit on this man Moses. The book, in fact, concludes, Deuteronomy concludes with a couple of verses that are the writing about Moses. And let me just read those verses. I think it's a good background for this next section. And there has not arisen a prophet since then in Israel like Moses, whom Jehovah knew face to face, for all the signs and wonders which Jehovah sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the might and power, and for all the great terror which Moses did in the sight of all Israel. No one like Moses, before or since, has there been, Francis.
That's right.
Let's listen to Witness Lee as he describes Moses in this final life study message from Deuteronomy.
Moses was great because of three things. Number one, in human history, there had never been another one who talked to God face to face. Only Moses. And number two, he did a lot of signs and wonders in Egypt and also in the wilderness in the sight of all Israel. Then number three, he put out these five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Particularly, I like the last one. I like Deuteronomy. If you could get into this book, you love it. It is really the rain. They are raindrops and they are abundant showers. Small rain, big rain, right? Strong rain. If you read carefully, they are just like the rain. Really so. And these five books were very well composed. It's marvelous. That was 3,500 years ago. You all have to know the entire world today is under the law of Moses. The Roman Empire adopted the principle of Mosaic law. Based upon those principles, Roman Empire set up their laws. And that law of the Roman Empire became the base of today's laws around the globe. If you study the history, all the nations of the law today, everyone copied some principle of the Roman law. And the Roman law was based upon the principle of the law of Moses. So these affect the human culture to the uttermost. You have to think about it. In the Western world, the culture and the human race could be kept, preserved, and maintained up to today. It was altogether due to the laws of Moses. All the historians do give the credit to Moses in this matter. So he was great. He was a great man in human culture. Not just in worshiping God, even in human culture, he was too great.
Francis, I don't think we need to say too much here. I think he just said most of it, but it is quite something to reflect for just a moment on the impact that Moses, this man of God, has had, not just affecting us in the way we approach God and worship God, but even on the whole of Western civilization and culture, very much preserved over these more than 3,000 years from the law and the things that he laid down for the nation of Israel. It's really something, isn't it?
It is marvelous that there was such a man on this earth used by God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt from their slavery there and bring them into the wilderness and take them all the way through the wilderness, giving them the law at the beginning and those Ten Commandments and all the statutes and so on. It's just marvelous. But when you consider Moses' history, you realize that he's a very unique person. He was unique in being a deliverer, and he was very unique in speaking the words of the law, and certainly unique in supplying the saints with the pathway to take as they went through the wilderness and came to the good land. Even though he wasn't able to enter into the good land himself, he brought the people that far, which was quite marvelous. We have a lot to recognize in this man, Moses. And the main thing we have to recognize is that he is a type of Christ. Christ is really the unique prophet. Moses was a prophet of God and unique in his way of receiving God's word and speaking it. And he's a type of Christ as the unique prophet who always spoke the words of God. And then the word that he spoke was just God himself. It was God's word.
That's right.
Not Moses' word. So he was unique in speaking the word of God. And Christ is really the unique word of God. We know that from John's gospel, that he is the word.
Mm-hmm.
He's all that God has to say.
Right.
He's the alphabet of God. And every kind of combination that alphabet makes up is just Christ. So he's the word of God. And then also, this good land that Moses was bringing them to was a unique land, specifically marked out for the children of Israel. That was the goal of their journey. The all-inclusive Christ is the unique goal of God. So Moses is really a type of Christ, both as a unique prophet, as the unique word, and as a unique goal. And I feel like these five books, without the knowledge of these five books, we wouldn't know anything. I mean, even governments are set up on this, as you mentioned. And certainly, the government of this country, United States, largely is based on the Ten Commandments and the laws that were given by Moses.
Well, it brings us to our final segment of the Life Study of Deuteronomy. And Witness Lee is going to say many of the things that Francis, you just said, but I think it's worth hearing again. Here's our brother.
Christ's uniqueness in this book, in being the unique prophet of God as the divine oracle, the unique word as the embodiment of the divine riches, and the unique good land as the divine goal. The unique prophet, the unique word and the unique good lamb. All the words in this book are just Christ. Regardless, he talks about commandment, the law, ordinances, statutes, judgments, or even talk some negative things. You have to realize that is God's breathing. And God's breathing is altogether embodied in Christ. So, through the reading of such a book, you just can inhale the exhaling God into you. You could enjoy him. I assure you, 34 chapters, you just read half chapter a day. You use 10 weeks. Every day, don't read too much, just half chapter. Half chapter, just about half an hour. Read and pray. Then you will see, my goodness, every word in this book is God's exhaling. You just have the sense, you touch God. You touch God's breathing. And that breathing is embodied in Christ. That's Christ. You just enjoy Christ. He, Christ, is the unique prophet for God's divine oracle. And he's also the unique word for our means to accomplish what God requires. Then Christ is also the unique goal, that is good man. The unique oracle, the unique means, the unique goal. It's very good.
Francis, you and I remember, were in London for one of the radio seminars with our listeners there, and one of the listeners told us how much he liked our format. First, we tell him what he's going to say, and then he says it, and then we tell him what he said. And I think we just had a good illustration of that here just now. You basically gave a good summary of what he just developed, and it left us with inhaling Christ as the Word of God and longing in our hearts to come back to this, even this portion in Deuteronomy, again and again, because we just have found out how we touch God and touch Christ in all these pages, as you pointed out.
I'm sure any of the listeners could assume that I had heard these words spoken by Brother Lee, that I just repeated again, and then he reinforced.
Absolutely. Well, Francis, any final thoughts that you have about Deuteronomy?
I've really appreciated this time to be in the book of Deuteronomy. I just think it's wonderful that these can be opened up in this way to our radio audience.
Francis, I think we would be remiss if we didn't close with an invitation for our listeners to contact us about the printed material, the volume of the Life Study of Deuteronomy. It's a one-volume, just a one-volume book, 30 messages in total. We did 25 radio programs, so there is more material here certainly than we covered in the radio version. So if you'd like to get this, please call us toll-free 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send email to radio@lsm.org. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the Life Study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own Life Study reading schedule or download more Life Study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. www.theveryfirstbook.com. Thanks for listening.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.